God doesn't speak so many times because he's trying to entertain us. He's speaking because he wants to help us. And I'm very excited about that. So I've been kind of like fighting with something and just felt that God wanted to just encourage us today. So I want to speak on shaking it off and stepping up. Shake it off, step it up. Say it. Shake it off, step it up. Again, shake it off. No, you are not convinced of nothing. You're just telling me what I'm asking you to say without any expectation, any desire, any nothing. So I want to ask it again. Shake it off, step it up. Shake it off, step it up. Google gave a story about a donkey. One day a farmer's donkey fell into the well. The animal cried piteously for hours as the farmer tried to figure out what to do. Finally decided the donkey was old and the well needed to be covered up anyway. It just wasn't worth it to retrieve the donkey. He invited his neighbors to come around and help him. They all grabbed the shovel and began to shovel the dirt into the well. At first, the donkey realized what was happening and cried horribly. Then, to everyone's amazement, he quietened down. A few shovels later, the farmer finally looked down the well. He was astonished at what he saw. With every shovel of dirt that hit the donkey's back, the donkey did something amazing. He shook it up and he stepped up. As the farmer's neighbors continued to shovel dirt on top of the animal, he would shake it up and step it up. Pretty soon, everybody was amazed at the donkey and who stepped out over the edge of the well and happily trotted off. Life is going to shovel dirt on you, all kinds of dirt. The trick is to getting out of the well is to shake it off and step it up. Each of our troubles is a stepping stone. We can get out of the deepest well just by not stopping, never giving up, shaking it off and stepping it up. Apparently it's a true story and the rest of the story because, you know, sometimes we're very good at giving half the story and then we never give the ending. So apparently the donkey eventually wandered back and bit the farmer for doing that. And the farmer eventually died because of the donkey bite and the germs and everything else that went with the story. Father, I'm asking tonight that your word says the anointing breaks yokes of bondage. There has been such a special presence tonight, and I'm asking that, Lord, you would now watch over your word, and I pray that it will inspire somebody to step up out of the mess that the enemy is shoveling on them in a continuous basis. We've seen the picture of the person digging, and we've heard stories of what has been preached about persevering. And I pray that, Father, that will not just be head knowledge tonight, but it'll be something that will grip the very inside of us and will drive us to fulfill what you have called us to do. You never called us to give up and to just sit and do nothing. You said that we need to finish strong. And Lord, I pray that there will be a determination and a drive in every single one of us to be those people today in Jesus' name. I thank you and I give you praise. Amen. Amen. Before I carry on, Annalene and Anton from Sunnydale, it's good to have you with us. So I don't know whether you know, is it common knowledge right now? It is. Okay, so they are going to be taking over a 412 church in a place called Marondera in Zimbabwe. I did my whole high school years in that little town. And I am praying that the presence of God, the gift that you carry will have such an impact on that place that I'm looking forward to hearing of all the amazing things that are going to happen through you. So thank you for putting up your hand. Thank you for making the big change. And I pray that God will grace you because it's a culture shock. That's kind of like the easy way to say that one. But I pray that those people will love you, will embrace you, will allow you to lead them, and will partner with you to see the thing. So there was a time in my life. Because I grew up in born Rhodesia, went through the whole change to Zimbabwe, I used to give a weekend a year to go back on my own just to go and serve a nation that I grew up in. And the very last time, it was about 7 years ago, I went to Murrindurra and I actually ministered in the church that they are going to be taking over right now. So it's exciting. I really am excited to hear what's going to happen there. Right, back to the story. Is it? Aha, okay. So I'm not too sure whether you've realized in life, but life can shovel a lot of stuff on you. Who was I talking to? Kind of like, you know, if we knew, I made the statement with when Shirley married, said yes to marry me, if she had known how we were going to be moving around, I think she would have said no. Because life has a lot of different expectations. Well, it can change life very, very, very quickly. And I want to tell you, God never intended you and I to carry dirt around. He intended that we shake it off. Dirt comes in many different forms. Dirt comes through many different kinds of people. But dirt still remains dirt. And don't allow what others do to us to weigh us down. Don't allow what the enemy is sent for evil. God says, I turn it for. You better remind yourself of that. When life is starting to get a little bit too heavy, remind yourself, God turns this into good things. Good things. Unfortunately, under pressure, something valuable is formed. You do not find diamonds on the earth, on the top of the surface. You find them down in the bottom. They've been under pressure. They've been under heat. Gold you don't find on the surface. You find it down underground. It's been under pressure. It's been in the heat. Everything that's valuable has to go through pressure and heat. That's what makes you and I valuable. That's what gives you and I a testimony to speak. Revelation 12 says, they overcame him, huh? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, the power of your testimony. And this is the reason why it's powerful, is because nobody can deny what God has done in and through your life. You are a living testament of that very thing. Now, unfortunately, when we go through tough times, the memory of those things linger. We have all had children. Okay, most of us have had children. How many of you, your children became sick while you're driving in the car? This is forthcoming attractions for those newly married and haven't got kids yet. Here's the nice thing. Many times after that, when you climbed into the car, there is the memory of that. That aroma lingers. Oh, man. And you do everything you can to try and get rid of that stuff. And I want to tell you that everything that you and I go through wants to linger in your life. It wants to hold on to you. It wants to drag you down. You and I, we better put vinegar or something on it that kind of like get rid of that thing. See to it. Stuff does not leave its aroma on you. Don't allow it to do that. If you go to Hebrews chapter 12, the whole background in chapter 11 is basically Hebrews is speaking about the heroes of faith, and then all of a sudden he turns from the heroes of faith and he starts to speak to the Jewish people that it's writing to. And in Hebrews 12:12 it says, therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. If you're walking around limping right now, it's okay. But allow God to heal you. Don't choose to walk around with a continuous limp. Verse 14, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Verse 15, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up causing trouble, and by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicators or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterwards, what he wanted to inherit the blessing, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. But look at verse 15. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springs up, causing trouble, and by this many become defiled. If you and I do not let go of the dirt, it makes us dirt. And I don't think anybody's going to enjoy if you present them a nice glass of clean or fresh water, but you put mud in it. And what we need to understand is our lives is like a drink. It's going to be refreshing for other people. That's why God puts you in people's lives. It's so that we can become a refreshing presence of Jesus there. And so we need to make sure that the well that comes out of us is clean. Often what people have done to us, we've forgiven them, but that residue, that stench still keeps hanging around. We have to guard against the root of bitterness that causes trouble and defile us. You see, trouble means it crowds you in, it gives you less space to move, and puts you in a small place. Defile means that untrusting attitude in you, unconfident, causing us to put up walls. So when there's something not like it, we put up walls and we keep people at a distance. And because we put up walls, it keeps us in a small place. How do we know we've been defiled? These are some of the signs. I didn't say they're all, but attitude change. You lose passion. Have you ever been there? You lose passion for the Lord. You lose passion for what you're doing. I've been there. Where your heart and your head leaves town. You don't trust. You don't trust leadership. You don't trust anymore. You start doubting God and you start losing your identity. You don't know who you are any longer. Some of those things can lead to depression. I'm not saying that this is the cause of depression all the time. Sometimes it's a chemical thing. There's lots of different, but these are one of the things that can start to creep into our life. And then another thing is that we don't have the real fullness of God in us anymore. We don't have that expectation, that excitement of what God is about to do. I've been there. It's not a nice place to be. And then there's just the loss of confidence. You don't want to engage. You don't want to get involved in anything. You just withdraw. So when Jesus in John 13 washes his disciples' feet, remember that story? In the natural, when Jesus washed his feet, he was washing the dirt off them physically. Because they walked around with sandals and they were dirt roads. So if you've ever walked with slops and you walk in dirt roads, you'll get to realize that your feet become very contaminated by the dust that you're just walking in. But I believe that there was something else that Jesus was doing when he washed his feet. He was also washing the other dirt off their life that the world was putting on them. We need to get rid of the defilement that isn't yours. Stop holding on to the things that you're not supposed to hold on to. Stop making a concrete foundation what was actually just a little stepping stone. Some of us are building on things that have happened a long time ago, and it's stopped us. It's broken our speed. It's paralyzed us, and it's stopping us from becoming. So how do we do it? We can you follow the lady, please? So what do? You? And you step it up. You never ever win a battle backing off. The only way you win a battle is you've got to get into the face of it. You've got to get yourself back in the offensive again. You've got to get yourself back into a better place. You've got to shake it off, and you've got to step it up. So how do we do that? What are some things that we can maybe as handles we can grab hold on to so we can get that shaking it off and stepping it up? Number one, we've got to have a spiritual vision that we hold on to. When God called you, He put something in your and my hearts. He has never changed His mind. Please listen to me. He has never changed His mind. The very thing that got you excited in the beginning is the very thing that God still wants to do in you, through you, with you, and in spite of you. So, that thing you and I need to get hold of, and we need to get a grip back of that again. In Proverbs 28, 19 says, "For those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasy will have their fill of poverty." So in other words, what happens is the enemy throws these things on us because he wants to paralyze us and stop us from doing something. So all he does is he stops us from working our land. And the Bible says if you work your land, you're going to have plenty. So as long as you keep working the land, as long as you keep digging the tunnel, you're going to hit the gold. Remember the picture? You got to keep digging the well if you want to hit water. Stopping doesn't change anything. Stopping doesn't change your thirst either. So I hear, I'm not a good swimmer myself, but I heard this, that you and I can swim for longer than we can tread water. Is that true? Is anybody can verify that? Any swimmers? Oh yeah, if you were Olympic swimmers, you'd be in Paris right now. But apparently so. Apparently you and I can swim for longer than you can tread water. And I want to say to us, stop treading water. Get on and start swimming. So I remember that when I did the half Ironman, and you do get tired. Because the only thing that you got to train in is a swimming pool. So you go 25 meters, turn around, come back. So you're having a bit of a rest every now and then to get your breath back. When you jump into the dam, there ain't no turning around. You just got to go. When you're in the swimming pool, you've got these things that kind of like you help you to swim straight. When you're in the dam, you ain't got nothing to keep you straight. You swim into each other, you do all sorts of crazy things. But you understand, while you're there, you got to keep swimming, because if you're not swimming, you're not going anywhere. And I don't know about you, because I'm not a good swimmer, I don't want to be there for the whole day. I want to get that part of it done. So how did David keep going when Saul kept on chasing him? There's some things that we need to learn from the people that went before us. And I want for a moment just think about what it was like. He didn't have the comfort of all the facilities we have around us today. He was in the desert. That was nuts. I don't know how big the mountains are. I've not been to that area. But we do know that he hid in a cave. And I don't know what that desert is like, but there was a time when we were reaching out to the Bushmans in Botswana, and we would go in winter because during the summer it is so hot that you nearly die. So we would go in winter, and during the day it's t-shirt and short kind of stuff. But at nighttime, yo, it's like somebody left the deep freeze open. You get seriously cold. And just by the way, just a free story. You see the Bushmans, they've got hardly anything on. They make a fire and they sit there like this. They have one blanket. They give the kids the blanket, they go to sleep. And when mom and dad go to sleep, they take the blanket, they go to sleep with the blanket, and the kids have nothing. I'm sleeping in my tracksuit. I've got a mohair tracksuit. I'm inside a sleeping bag. I have another blanket on top of me. I've got my Russian jacket on, and I'm still freezing. And I'm thinking, oh, Jesus, thank you, I'm not a Bushman. I'm telling you. Don't know why I'm telling you these stories. You got to keep moving. Stop treading water. Stop sitting down, running the comrades. Do you know how entertaining those water tables are when you are so tired and you just feel like you just want to camp there and drink the whole table of water? But that's not going to get you to the end of the race. You've got to take your water and you've got to keep on running. And there comes a time, I remember it, at 75Ks, it was like, the pain levels and everything else is just like crazy. But the only thing you do is if I can just put one foot in front of the other. That's all you do. Just one foot in front of the other. Every time you put that foot down, it's pain. It's like, feels like your whole bottom of your foot is just a blister. And you just, because I wasn't, my wife said, I was never going to do it again. Because she felt like she was a widow. Wake up every morning, I wasn't there because I was running. And so I had 1 year to do it. And I wasn't going back. And that's all you think about. I'm not coming back to do this. I didn't want to go back and do it again. It was like, yo. But I'm just telling you, when it comes a time when life is getting difficult, you and I have to keep a vision in front of us, because that's the only way you shake it off and step it up. The Bible says where there is no vision, people perish. Vision is something that keeps you and I keep moving on. If we lose vision, we stop. Kind of like played a couple of games of airsoft. And the hardest target to hit is a moving target. So as long as you keep moving, the possibility of you getting shot is a little bit less than if you're just sitting. Then you get some guys who go and climb up in a high tower, Mr. Steve, and I get shot, and I don't know where it came from. It felt like from heaven. I love you too. I did say some other things to you at that day, but anyway, it's all right. So I want to encourage you. If you go kind of like find yourself in a place where life is a bit too much for you right now, get your vision back. Get your vision back. Know where you're going to. You see, if you don't know where you're going, any destination's okay. But that's not how you achieve what God's called us to do. God's given us a destination. Let's pursue that. Number two, follow Jesus' commands. We're talking about when life is shoveling dirt on you, what do? Wonderful. You guys are amazing. So, following Jesus' commands is all about keeping your and myself clean. That's what it is. Keeping ourselves clean. Keeping ourselves free. Keep doing the right things, even when what is not right is being done to you. Write it down, please. Keep doing what is right, even when what is not right is being done to you. Walk in humility. If you are wrong, take responsibility. If somebody wants to blame you, let them blame you. When somebody has said in their mind that you are the reason, whatever, the only thing you can do is pray for them and bless them. But heaven knows the real record. And there's only one person that we need to satisfy or please right now. It's our Heavenly Father. He knows it. He's our defender. He will fight for you. He will sort things out. It might take a couple of years, but that's okay. You just leave that and let Jesus do that. The number one thing that keeps you and I in the mess is being offended. Being offended. And here's the deal. An offense doesn't jump onto you. You pick it up. I pick an offense up. It doesn't jump onto me. I choose to take it. Matthew 18:15. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his faults between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. You see, when you want to sort things out, you need to go with an attitude of humility. If you are going to go and give him a piece of your mind, don't do that too often, otherwise you won't have anything left. Okay. So yes, a couple of things to sort some things out. Talk to people, never talk about people. Talk to your spouse, never about your spouse. Talk to your neighbor and never about your neighbor. How many of us have got an amazing neighbors? But You know, there's lots of people that live around us, and somewhere along the line, there's one funny one. Somewhere along the line. It's all right. Every household has that one. So do what Jesus said. He said, forgive. Just forgive. Don't say, I will forgive you if. No, that's not forgiveness. You see, Jesus didn't forgive us at the cross if we responded to him. He forgave us. He chose to put that into place even before you and I responded. And then he sent his Holy Spirit and said, go and fetch them and bring them in. So, number two, follow Jesus' command. Number three, spend time with people who will inspire you to keep on going. You do get people that are a drain on the system. And we need to help them. And that's where we're going to. We hang around them. Why? Because we carry something that if they are willing and wanting to learn, they will hopefully learn. We will speak the word of God. We will inspire them. We'll look out. But you cannot live someone else's life. You cannot make other people do anything. You can only teach them. You can only model. You can only inspire. You can do those things. And I'm asking all of us to be those kind of people. But you and I, your alliance takes you to your destination and your future. The people that you have around you is going to be the people that's going to point you. Somebody said this, show me your friends and I'll show you who you're going to be in 5 years from now. David, in the cave of Adullam, there's a whole bunch of people that came out to him. And this is what he said to them in 1 Chronicles 12:17. If you have come peaceably to me to help me, my heart will be united with you. But if you come to betray me to my enemies, since there is no wrong in my hands, may the God of our fathers look and bring judgment. It's very interesting that those people that were all broken and outcasts in life became the very core of the army that David raised up because he linked hearts. And you and I need to hang around people that will help us, inspire us, pick us up. When we hang around them, they almost need to feel like they're a tonic to us. Do you have those kind of people in your life? I hope so. There are people that inspire you to grace and help you find yourself. You learn from them. And those are the people we learn from so it can help us to. I've been preaching too long now. The choir is quieting down. Number four, keep having refreshing encounters with the Lord. Keep having refreshing encounters with the Lord. Psalm 27:3, though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though the war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. It didn't say that the army's going to go away. It didn't say the fight's going to go away. The fight is real. But God said that when he'll encamp around us and he'll cause us to be confident. You see, difficult times test our faith, and real encounters with God will strengthen us in those times. Tests are real. But if you want a testimony, you're going to have to go through the test, not the money. So there's a time in my life, long time ago when we were back here in Cape Town. I think I've shared the story, but I'm going to share it again. So there was I was doing a job just trying to keep myself alive while we were trying to plant the church that we came down to do. And I remember that unfortunately airplanes, they fly 7 days a week. They fly 18 hours a day. And I was a one-man operation. So after, I think it was about 18 months. I think it was about 18 months. I was never able to go to church longer than the second praise and worship song. Then I had to leave and go and fetch my staff, and then the first airplane would arrive, and that's what my Sunday was like. And then I would work until 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night. And I remember after 18 months, my spiritual life was dry. You get tired. Physically, you get tired. And one day, the first airplane was delayed. And for the first time, I was able to sit through church and the sermon. And when I went to church, I said, God, today I am coming so hungry, I'm going to touch heaven today. I'm going to do everything that I know because I'm so desperate to be refreshed by you. When they started praise and worship, man, I started to jump. I admit to you, I started in the flesh. But that's okay, because sometimes there's a starting point that's needed. And I started to jump and shout, and I gave everything that I had. That day, God met me. Things happened. When I walked out of that place, I was so refreshed with the presence of God. And I want to tell you, that's why you've got to keep hanging around people that are going to help you, refresh you. And the Bible says this, forsake not, what? The gathering of the saints, as is the habit of some. I want to tell you that this is not a, I bless you, you bless me, da, 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 no. This is a time when we come together as a body, as a family, so we can magnify God. But it's in this atmosphere that we bring something that inspires everybody to become something, to touch God, to for the windows of heaven to be open. You need to understand it. So when you come to church on Sunday, don't come here with the attitude of, well, let's see if they can bless me today. You're going to leave exactly the same, not blessed. But will you come on a Sunday saying, God, I thank you. I'm going to come and touch heaven. And I'm going to touch heaven not only for me, but for the person standing right next to me. There's maybe somebody's coming that, I mean, there's dirt. You never said something else there. There is dirt that's kind of like, shoo, I'm so glad I caught that one. You don't know what I was going to say. There's dirt that's been shoveled on them the whole week. They need something from heaven when they come here. When you come to come, don't come there and think, oh, well, let's just see what they're going to do. No, come there wanting to be a contributor so that something can inspire someone else to get up out of that well that they've been buried in. Number five, increase our worship time. Increase our worship time. The kingdom of heaven, right from the beginning of the Bible, is built on sacrifices of men. Right until now and right until the end of everything, it's all about sacrifices, and it's about us sacrificing something. The problem is that when you're hanging around in life, it smells like you've been hanging around a braai. There's a smell about you. And you see, none of us will ever go to a board meeting after you've been hanging around the smoke of a braai. Your cleanup. And I'm asking us, and worship has that process of cleaning us up. It cleans us up. It gets rid of the aromas of the world. They're kind of like wanting to hang on. Remember our child in the car that wasn't well? Remember that? That aroma that wants to hang around. Worship seems to have the ability to cleanse us from that and open our eyes and open the way for us to be able to minister to God. God will minister to us. It has become the incense. Paul writes to the Corinthians church. He talks about us being the aroma of Jesus. There is no better way to be an aroma of Jesus than to be a worshiper. It does something for you and I. When you and I are just moaning all the time, you smell like you've been hanging around the braai. But when you and I get into worship mode, all of a sudden the incense of God starts to flow. Worship is that incense, cleanses us. See, the Bible says that in His presence there is fullness of joy. Now, I want to tell you, I want to be honest with you. You see this little Leifi over here? He doesn't always want to. But the one on the inside says, I override you today. You don't want to, but I do. So you will. And my inside man tells my outside man, jump, clap, shout, raise your voice. And the outside man listens. Some of you notice need to start to speak your outside man. Now you're quiet. Don't leave me now. We need to start talking to the outside man. David says, a soul, why are you so downcast? Speaks to himself. Some of us, we need to raise our voices. You know, when we kind of like, we've got to the end of our road and all of a sudden, when we want to enforce force, the voice level goes up. I think we need to start to exercise that in our own spiritual life. You raise your voice. Heaven's not deaf. Heaven can hear a whisper. But the reason why I shout is because this has become deaf. It's not listening any longer. And so therefore, I talk to it with authority. I've got to take time to shake these things off, and I've got to step it up. And I want to encourage you as I land now. Make the devil mad. Shake it off. Step it up. Everything he's thrown at you, laugh at him. Laugh at him. Say, this is the best you can give me. Yeah, he comes. Do something. Always let our praise please our Father. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Worship team, can I ask you to come, please? Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So, right from the beginning, digging for the valuable, whatever those blue things were in the rock, whatever that is, the perseverance, the stuff that is needed. We're going to give you a moment to just persevere a little bit more. Is that okay? You see, if we don't practice what we are hearing, then you're not going to do it at home. So this is the best place that we are going to do that whole story. You guys sorting out something? Okay, cool. So while we're doing this, I want to remind you of the things that I've spoken about. Number one is reestablish your vision. Reestablish, see yourself how God called you the first time and reestablish and commit yourself to that. God, I'm going to be that. I'm going to be that. Number two, follow Jesus' command. What is Jesus telling you and I to do in his word? I don't need, it doesn't have to be a revelation. All I have to do is I just need to be obedient of what he tells me to do. If he's told me to forgive, I need to forgive. There's no room for unforgiveness. If I need to go and bless someone, then I need to go and do that. Okay? If I need to praise, I praise. Whatever he's told me, whatever you've read in his word that you need to do, that's what you do. Spend time with people that will inspire you. That's going to be something that's going to happen from today onwards. But when we worship now, you see somebody that's excited about something, go and stand next to them. And hopefully, what is contagious on them will rub off onto us. Is that okay? Cool. Number four, keep having an fresh encounter with the Lord. In other words, don't come stand here and see whether somebody else will help you into the presence of God. No, you make a decision. I'm going in. I'm going in. Remember the two blind people that were following Jesus? Was it blind or deaf? No, blind. They were blind. And Jesus went to the house and they just followed him. He went in there. And he said, what do you want me to do for you? He said, we want to see our sight. They said, do you believe? And he said, yes, we do. He says, there you are. Get it. So we need to hang around and then increase our worship time. Increase our worship time. I want to encourage you. When you're driving in the car, put worship on. When you're at home, put worship on. When you're in work, if you can, put worship on. Don't annoy the boss. You're not going to be building and pointing people to Jesus in another way. But if you can put one ear pod in and still obey your work with the other ear, find a way. Is that okay? Yeah. Hallelujah. Come to stand together, please. Mm-hmm.